Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. And I take advantage of the professor's generous mood here at year's end to comment on two Supreme Court decisions that have not been made. They haven't even been presented in oral argument, but it's upcoming in February, February 21, February 22. This has to do with social media, always in the news, especially with the, you'd have to say, sharp reduction in price on Wall Street. This is Meta, this is Facebook, this is Twitter, this is Google. Two cases seem strikingly similar about whether the social media sites have immunity from lawsuits based on third-party postings on their sites. Professor, the one is called Gonzalez versus Google, and the other is Twitter Incorporated versus Tomney. They strike me as extremely similar. Sorting this out, is the Supreme Court ready to make a very clear statement that Twitter and Google and other social media sites are exempt or are going to be held accountable?
Well, I think these cases are pretty difficult. And my inclination is, though I'm not normally sympathetic to the two companies on this issue, is that they have the better of the particular argument. It's important to understand what's going on here. These are not cases in which somebody is saying that what they did is they posted something which was defamatory about somebody else and then failed to remove it after they've given notice. What happens is these are cases in which they're independent third parties, ISIS-type people, who go out and commit crimes of mayhem and deliberate wrongs. And the question is how it is that you're going to help somebody else responsible for what it is that they have done. And this is not unique to social media and the information that they get, which they could turn to their advantage. Suppose it turns out that what happens is you have somebody who commits a crime and uses a hammer. And then what you do is you turn around and you go back to the hardware store where the hammer was purchased and say, that's the party who's responsible for the way in which this thing goes wrong. And so we can hold him responsible for the misuse of the tool by somebody else. And the rules on this are pretty darn clear. If you just simply have liability on the grounds that you furnish something which could turn criminal, everybody on the face of the globe is going to be criminal for virtually everything that starts to happen. So what you then do is you say these things have to be specific intent crimes. And what I mean by that is you say, look, if the guy came to him and said, look, I need a hammer at this particular point to murder somebody, and if you sell it to me, I'll give you an extra premium, but just don't tell anybody that I bought it. And then they get the hammer and they start to use it. At that particular point, it's aiding and abetting. It's a conspiracy of some kind or another, and the liability would be actually assured. But in these particular cases, you don't see that. So the two cases take a slightly different view. The first of them, I think the Gonzalez case, what it says, if you look at Section 230, it doesn't give you an immunity in this kind of case. It only gives you an immunity for everything else that you do to post and publish it. I think, in effect, that the immunity is broad enough to cover this particular kind of thing, unless and until you can show the specific intent. And the other case is we're not trying to go under Section 230 of the Act or get around it, rather. What we're doing now is we're starting to look at the general statutes having to do with terrorism. And in these particular situations, there's a section called 2333 of the Anti-Terrorism Act, which essentially is going to be called into play. And the question is whether you could hold them responsible for that. Well, I think it's good enough to hold somebody responsible for an anti-terrorism violation if they've been engaged in terrorism. But again, in the absence of specific intent, There is no reason to treat the social media any differently from the way in which we treat the purveyor or the supplier of any other kind of good. There's a very complicated body of law out there which tries to deal with these ancillary offenses prior to or even subsequent to the commission of a particular crime. But the simple basic rule is this. If you get somebody who's engaged with independent motives and all sorts of means to get information from every conceivable source, the general view is that that party is the sole party and its confederates. They are the sole parties that are responsible for this. And dragooning in somebody who is no part of their plan, who didn't even know that the plan would take place, on the grounds that they provided data which was to some extent useful to somebody else, is just crazy. So if you want to take another illustration, suppose
we have
somebody,
30 seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
So somebody wrote a learned book talking about the various strategies that have been and could be used by these companies. Could they be held liable if somebody read the book and adjusted their practices to commit mayhem? I think this is very much a bridge too far. And in my view, I think both of these cases are going to result in no liability. There are lots of reasons to reform the tech industry. These two cases don't give you any particular reason to do that.
Professor Richard Epstein, looking ahead on the calendar for the Supreme Court, oral arguments of two cases involving communications. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.